the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that we record Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. What would you like to look at this morning?
Yeah. I don't really know what I want to say about this, but yesterday I went to a conference and was led to to read or listen to a book called One Word Can Change Your Life. And so this morning I had a little time, and so I started listening to it. It's very fast. It's only 45 minutes. But it had such a huge impact on me. And the philosophy that, and the idea that using one word to start out your year rather than a New Year's resolution that we all fail at, it seems like. But finding a word, and there's a process of finding a word, looking in, looking up, and looking out to use the word throughout your year, and how much just focusing on that one word can change your life.
So looking in to find the word and then looking out to see how you can use that word throughout the year.
Yeah, looking in to still your self. Some of the direction is to become unplugged in preparing your heart to receive the word, because it's not something that you have to stress about, oh my God, I gotta find this word. It's gonna be given to you, but you have to prepare for it. And, my life, and most of the American anyway that I know about, we spend our lives hearing things. We're plugged in all the time. And part of that is our jobs or and sometimes it's just to keep ourselves company, because we haven't learned how to, most of us haven't learned how to live in silence. And so sitting in silence to prepare your heart to receive, and then looking up to God or of your understanding to find that word, and then looking out to live with that word, and how it's just amazing, the idea that really truly, I mean, we use it on our bracelets, you know, that we make, and it's like, but yet, so we do it in our practice, and but yet the thought is so foreign to me, you know, it's just the idea is so foreign, so. So I'm kind of jazzed up about it.
So you're kind of jazzed up about the fact that that, you know, it's this whole idea of an alternate New Year's resolution to just be able to be in stillness and to be receptive to what the heart might offer.
Exactly.
In the way of a word. And to carry that word, it sounds like, throughout the year,
right.
And I would project in the container of the heart,
mm-hmm.
and to be constantly looking outward to see how that, you know, that word can be taken out into the world,
right.
During the year. And I'll just say it again, you're really jazzed.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
No.
All right.
Thanks.
That's great. I like that. And I'm just sitting here. The word that dropped in was grateful.
Grateful.
So I'll just see if maybe that becomes the word for the year. Be a good one anyway. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple things that I've been looking at lately that are very closely related. And I heard someone use the image this morning. The alternative to the brick wall being the gateless gate.
Uh-huh. And, the alternative to the brick wall being the gateless gate.
Right, and I have been just seeing lately how resistance is in direct proportion to the opportunity that lies on the other side of it.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked that image of, you know, resistance is the brick wall, but if you can get beyond the brick wall,
uh-huh.
what you can have is the gateless gate.
Uh-huh. So resistance, you know, is the opportunity, and if you can get beyond the brick wall, just hang in there.
That's right.
What's on the other side of the brick wall is the gateless gate.
Yeah, and whatever kind of possibility there might be.
Mm-hmm.
And a related condition thing to that is I keep... coming up against the phrase and looking into, I'm not the kind of person who, which is basically resistance.
That old wall, I'm not the kind of person who, yep.
And, you know, just, you know, I hear that, you know, oh, I'm not the kind of person who, and what I've been doing lately is saying, well, and how do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it will take an instance where I am not that kind of person and say, therefore, I am never that kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
But when I stop and look at it, I have a lot of instances where I am that kind of person in other settings.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not true, actually, that I am not that kind of person.
Mm-hmm. So it's not true that you're not that kind of person. Right. It may be true in one moment.
Right.
But what you hear repeatedly is, I'm not that kind of person. So questioning that now, how do I know that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's just that I'm not the kind of person who is creating not only a brick wall, but a box.
A brick box.
A brick box within which to live out my life safely. You know, safely with conditioning in charge of not getting me outside of that brick box.
Yeah, and that safely is in quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a funny experience in the last couple of weeks. So over the course of, I'd say about a month actively, but a long time before that, there's this thing that kept coming up as a option for me in life, and something here in our community, in our county, and it just was one of those things that every time I turned around, it would be, you know. Mm-hmm. So I had been doing the practice of saying yes to this process and just keep taking the next step. It involved a rather long application process, which I kept going through and just saying yes. And then it had gotten to the point of, okay, now is the time to make the commitment. And it would be a minimum of a year-long commitment with not really great consequences if you had to not make it through the year. And then there was this brick wall that just went, you know, and looked, and there's this whole conversation about what's this going to do to my life, and, you know, just this whole thing. And it seemed really hard to go beyond that. And so actually, in a conversation with the mentor suggested not now, which really felt like a relief in the moment. And what I realized in retrospect, the relief was getting out of the conversation about whether it was a yes or a no.
So the relief was getting out of the conversation.
Yeah. And once I got out of the conversation, then there was like this, okay. And then I did just drop it for a while. But then I noticed it kept coming up again. And so then, fast forward to someone else offering some other opportunity for something to step into, which was way more, I am not the kind of person who...
Way more.
And so what I looked at and I said was, oh, well, that makes that other thing that I was hesitant about saying yes to really easy.
So that other thing that was the hesitation was there became really easy.
Right, it's like, oh, no problem. Yeah. I am the kind of person.
If I've got two choices, you're on that kind of person.
That's right. So, but actually, I'm ending up sort of in the process of saying yes to both of them, because what I saw was, you know, there's always going to be something more out there that is more I'm not the kind of person who... I mean, if that one was more than that one, then there will be one who's more than that one. And so I might as well say yes to all of them, because who knows what kind of person I am.
I might as well say yes to all of them, because who knows what kind of person I am.
And you know, and just sitting here saying that just makes conditioning, and therefore me at the moment, quake in my boots, because it's like, okay, now what am I unleashing, you know? And it just goes, you know, and then there's this little screaming inside. It's like, well, whatever happened to sitting on the couch by the fire with the cats and the book, you know? You know, it's like, it's sure that that can never happen again if my life becomes someone who says yes to everything that comes up.
So sure that you're never going to end up on the couch by the fire with the cats and the book. You know, if you say yes and to be in... And this place of saying yes to all of it, and especially yes to all of those opportunities that traditionally were brick walls, because they were not the kind of person that you were. Yeah. So, and some fear about what that's unleashing.
Which kind of actually leaves me in that place that was talked about before. I'm sort of jazzed.
Sort of jazzed.
But then, you know, as I said, sort of because I'm not the kind of person you are.
But might as well say yes to all the opportunities. Great, thank you. Kevin, did you have your hand?
Sure, yes. And thank you for that. Sort of pull me back out of the conversation. Well, the opportunity passed. both things that have been discussed so far really resonate with me right now. Feeling like I know what sort of person I am and what sort of person I'm not, the exclusivity of that and the limitation of that is something that I've been really looking at and questioning, and I guess I've been working with it in a way around sort of praying before meals, and in a way it's been similar to the one word kind of approach, as I understand it. Because there's so much resistance historically to the idea of prayer. You know, it calls to mind all these all the conditioning I have around and all the beliefs and assumptions, the resistance that I have around from my childhood and what prayer meant and the associations and the sort of great king in the sky image that I have so much resistance to. And so it seemed to require historically some sort of solid belief before I could engage in the practice of prayer. So this is like, who am I praying to? Like, it just all felt inaccessible in a way. So anyway, lately I've had this experience in other contexts in the past, but I've been really practicing with just saying, I love you, thank you. Mm-hmm. And leaving it at that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes the object of just speaking right to the food. Sometimes it's sort of has that awareness, holding in the awareness that all the work that's gone into preparing the food or growing the food or the whole of life which is represented by the food, my ability to experience it and all. I mean, it's just, it can take many different paths from that place, but it doesn't require any belief. And it seems to sort of just bypass that, the head, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's been really, it's been a great process for me. And I find myself just sort of smiling a lot, you know, when I'm saying it, and it just makes the meals a lot more joyful. And in a similar, I really like that, the one word approach, again, as I understand it, I suppose it's ego that right away wants to be, say, I want to look into that, you know. I should go online or get the book, or, you know, I should learn how to do that. But as I understand it, if that's resonating with me, it's sort of good enough to practice with for right now. It's perfect.
So just seeing how possibly ego comes in when you hear the one word thing introduced this morning, and like, oh, I gotta look into that, and I want, you know, maybe I should check that out. And you know, maybe just it's good enough to just, I'm seeing a similar process there with the prayer. You know, not being able to pray until maybe you figured out what this prayer was all about, what the relationship is with this, you know, God or, you know, higher power or whatever it might be, before one can engage in prayer. And what you described this morning is maybe an experiment going up against that I'm not the person who sort of thing. You know, I'm not the person who prays because I don't, you know. And going up against that and just developing a simple phrase before eating of, I think you said, I love you, thank you. And noticing just the effect of that. The effect of bringing a smile to your face as you go to eat. And just bringing, and bringing that to the food. And then now there's this other opportunity, it sounds like, that that the heart wants to take on the one word thing, but the mind wants to go, well, let's figure that one out. Let's read about that first.
Yeah, it's a similar process. As you're reflecting that back to me, I see the similarities between the not praying because I haven't yet figured it out, and it sort of puts it into the future in a similar way as I hear about this new tool or new practice that really intrigues me and excites me in a way that I already can access in a way if I remain with simplicity and look to my own expression and understanding of that simplicity, and instead of putting into the future of, that sounds like a great idea. let's look into that and see, you know, it's so anyway. And I've been, the idea of simplicity and is for me right now just a way, a really great way to try to drop out of the conversation in the head. And yeah,
so recognizing simplicity is a great way to just drop out of the conversation in the head, and and this is the moment. Thank you. Renee?
Yeah, everything that was shared is really helpful. I was looking at this, I'm still looking at the daily activities, the small things to do, and sort of just keeping that as a practice opportunity, in a sense.
Keeping the small activities of the day as a practice opportunity.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so you make a, as soon as I say what something, like internally, a conversation basically.
Then you hear an internal conversation.
Yeah. Okay, you're going to do this every day. Okay, immediately the brick wall becomes right out of the ground, right in front of me. Okay, so, and what I saw was the process of, so there's this desire, heart desire, to take care of the body, let's say. It could be as simple as just walking 15 minutes every day. Mm-hmm. And then immediately that brick wall pops up in the form of conditioning telling me all the reasons why I can't do it. And then, and I know this is something new that I noticed today, was then I forget about it, the commitment, or the thing I want to do. Like, it just completely is erased, kind of.
Yeah. So the heart really wants to do something. Ego comes in and puts up this, immediately the brick wall is assembled right there. And then there's a forgetting that, you know.
It's like it talked me out of it. And then
it's like, it's almost as if what you wanted, the heart wanted to do, was on the other side of that brick wall. I can't see it anymore. There's a total forgetting of.
Yeah. Yes, it just sort of goes away. Like, and I just saw that. I just go unconscious completely, and then it comes back in later. And then then I saw this. So there was this whole practice morning, and then I recorded and listened afterwards. And then on the recording and listening afterwards, I saw that. Then it comes back again that I want to do this later at a later time, and then conditioning says, "But you never will, because look what happened before." And it was just amazing to see it, like just, you know, that it's just totally in control of all of that.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how it's the deal with erecting brick walls, you know. So,
yeah.
So there's the first brick wall, and then you forget, and then you remember, like, well, the heart really wants to do that. And then this next brick wall is, well, no, you did that. You tried it before and it didn't, you know, didn't work. So just to see how that works.
How it all works. And then I guess there's a period of time, because this is like the unconsciousness again, there's a period of time where it's a long enough time where I try it again. And then the same process happens again.
Yeah. So a long enough period of time goes, and then you try it again, and the same process goes, happens again. I think I heard you say, it's because that long period of time has elapsed, there's a forgetting of the process of the first...
Of what ego did.
Of what ego did the first time. And so then it's like a whole new brick wall.
But it's really just the repetition of the same thing. And then it uses that against me too.
That you did that, and that it's repeating.
Yeah, so you never will do this.
Never.
You're part of the group of people who doesn't do this. This isn't who you are, basically. And you tried this for years, and you'll never do it.
So it just creates this really enclosed system.
It's just amazing. I mean, in a bad way.
Well, it's amazing in a bad way. And maybe there's something for us to learn about, you know. The system. Right.
And so what I'm seeing, the connection, this I don't want, I want to, but I can't, has brought up some other insights, and one of them is that I can do anything I want to do, regardless of how I feel or what conditioning says.
Wow, that's powerful. Yeah. I can do anything that I choose to do, regardless of what my feelings or what conditioning says.
Which is revolutionary to the survival system. Because it's like, you just don't believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe that completely. I just am seeing it. And I had mentioned to Sherry that it seems like everything we do is counterculture. Because there's so much resistance external, too, sometimes, whenever it's revealed to external sources. And she said, we just call it counter-ego instead of counter-culture, which is true. So,
wow. So everything we do is counter-ego, and it's a whole shift from saying counter-culture. Wow.
Yeah. So it's external forces, internal forces, all of that, which is the gateless gate. It's really nothing. Like, you know, we think it's something, but there's nothing there, you know?
Wow. Yeah. We think it's something, but there's actually nothing there. It's all an illusion that, you know, that we're going up against a whole culture, a whole counterculture, you know, and that there's any feelings mean anything. Any of that resistance means anything.
Right. And that's just how everyone's living. And but it's just, it's, I think that's part of, the reason I'm talking about it is that process that ego is doing that I fall for is so I can see and open up the space to see how to do it differently or to step out of it or to get beyond the wall. And the key, one of the keys it seems like is that connection of I don't have to believe it. I can do it anyway. And then I'm open to any other insights around that.
So one of the big keys of moving through that brick wall is that I can do it anyway. It doesn't have to stop me. My feelings, or forget what the other one you used. I don't have to believe my feelings. And there was another.
Not remember either.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
It'll come in.
Yeah.
But just that being a huge key, and just, you know, really looking at this and being open to finding a way to not get stopped at that brick wall.
It seems like staying connected to the heart is one of the other, which is practice, showing up, doing all the things we do, staying connected to the yes, staying connected to the folks who are in the people who are practicing the yes, whether it's Sangha or anyone else. And just continually, so that's, maybe those are two things to keep in mind.
That's great, to stay connected to the people that are practicing the yes. And ego is certainly not practicing the yes. And the ego is not a person, but you know, just that whole thing to just look and see, wow, am I staying connected to the yes? And that's what the heart, you know, the heart is a big yes. That's what I hear you saying.
Right. Yeah, and the yes, it's so interesting, because that insight about not now, talking about dropping the conversation, not about the decision, is such a big deal because for me to see, because we think we know what the heart is saying.
Yeah.
The conditioning thinks it knows what the heart is saying, and you have to be there to let it drop in what it really is saying, because it might not be yes to that decision, you know, or no to that decision. Or it might just be not now, because you're in a conversation with conditioning, you know, or not now because, you know, or whatever. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. practice being in that place of being able to hear the heart.
Mm-hmm. Which is the yes.
Which is the yes.
Yes, I hear the, I want, you know, I'm in the place of hearing the heart. Uh-huh. Or that's where I want to go, is to the place of hearing the heart. Uh-huh. And I say yes to that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I say yes to hearing the heart. And not particular, like we might not, ego, or, you know, the mind does not know. Mm-hmm. It will try to convince us that it knows what the heart wants. But, you know, to just practice that saying yes. Mm-hmm. To knowing what the heart wants and being still to let that come up without a notion of what it's going to be.
Yeah. So very grateful and jazzed about the morning practice and all the things that led to it.
Another jazzed from this side of the room. Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, so much. To me, so in that last conversation, I just kept getting that sort of a Groundhog Day image, you know, just sandbrick wall. And what I've really been looking at is what you were talking about at the end of the conversation, is that the courage of remaining in the I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know. And it feels like that's the place of awareness. That, you know, there's so many, one of the ways conditioning can get this person is there's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, I could learn this and I could do that and I could go here and I could, oh my gosh, you know, just, and I'm positive what it's doing is taking an authentic kind of lit up process and using it to split attention.
Yeah. What I saw when you said that is that's how the to-do list arises, you know? And
the truth is any one of those things would be fabulous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it turns it into an anxiety process.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But to remember that, you know, I can just so relate to all that, like, oh, you know, life puts this thing in front of me and, you know, really looking at it and the thing of wanting to just make a decision, you know, and to be done with it, and to realize that doesn't have anything to do with, that's an unconscious process, in the sense of, let me go back to sleep. Let me not have to stay anymore in the I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I've really, really been looking at, I guess awareness is the best way to describe it, but, that with everything that goes on, everything that the human does and how it goes and is all a And to get it that all we're doing, I'm doing, however we want to say that, is waking up. And that truly every bit of, am I gonna do this? Am I not gonna do this? Is irrelevant, you know?
Yeah.
And that, for me, the way that I watch, it feels like the thing that the awareness makes available is to watch over and over, but the way I would describe it for this person is, what am I going to get?
Yeah.
That's how it derails it.
Yeah.
What am I going to get?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to get from this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this good for me?
Mm-hmm.
Is this good? And, it, you know, it can be couched in all kinds of ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when there's this, that tiny little sensation of, it always comes down to that. It's always about an I being what it wants, getting what it wants.
Yeah.
And then coming back to that place of, just awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, it kind of takes it into the, what I project people are talking about in the jazz place of, I truly don't know. I mean, I look at that all the time. Here I am. I'm this person going along, right? I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I don't know 2 minutes from now if I'm going to or. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just living in that place of awareness, just watching life living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That place of being jazzed is, being in that place of I don't know, which you equated to awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's just no way, as you're going along, you can know if you're just present
And that I don't know place, no way to know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know, and how that ego just, you know, wants to just step right in and take that whole opportunity to be with the heart, to be in awareness, just wants to just snatch it out of our hands by making it, a decision.
Exactly.
But I know what I'm going to do, and it's going to look like this. Mm-hmm. And just, to see that's when the I gets pulled in there. Mm-hmm. What's in it for the I?
Right.
You know, and as soon as that happens, there goes the jazzed upness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And is it good? Is it bad? Am I good? Am I bad? Yeah. Am I doing well? Am I not doing well? Mm-hmm. You know, all those assessments. And again, with that Groundhog Day image, and I've talked before too, there was a similar theme of that in a television program one time where it, you know, went over and over and over, and then there's this, it goes differently. And the main character who knew that it's repeating over and over just says, well, this is different. You know, when the different thing happens, and to me, that's awareness. Mm-hmm. That's awareness. Because that place of, you know, I can't remember the image that was used before, but like, you know, am I going to eat this thing that supposedly I shouldn't eat? Am I going to exercise in the way that I'm supposed to exercise? Am I going to... It's like that cycle just repeats itself over and over and over. And to me, the suffering in it is that groove becomes so painful. Mm-hmm. And but I don't want to do this is part of the groove, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's that place of stepping back from it. And just, it's one of the hardest things to do, but truly stepping back from that and just seeing it happen with no judgment, just watching it. Uh-huh. And to me, that's that little moment of, this is different.
Yeah.
This is different. Because that's a whole different, that's I think what we mean when we say everything is exactly the same. But it's completely different. Mm-hmm. Because it's everything about it is the same. And that's the thing that conditioning can get us with. Well, it's never going to change. You've always done this. And that's true. It has always happened like this. And it has been. So it's so hard not to believe that. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to not believe it. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's completely true. It always has happened like this. It always has. But to take that one step back and just watch it happen without any judgment of that's wrong or that's bad or anything is amazing.
It is amazing.
And takes us back to me. Takes me back to, all I'm doing is waking up. I'm not getting in really good shape. I'm not getting rich. I'm not, you know, having perfect relationships. I'm not, you know, any of those things might happen. But the process that I'm choosing to put my life into is waking up.
The process I'm choosing to put my life into is waking up, not any of this other content that may come along, you know, and to be able to watch. I mean, I think you said, you know, the courage it takes actually, you know, to just hang in there and to, you know, to watch this. We're not even watching it, you know, we're in it, that just repeating thing. And then as suddenly as you describe that, as in the movie Groundhog Day, one day that whole process is going on, but we are able to see it at some distance and think, oh my gosh, you know, this is different. I can, and that's, as you describe, being in awareness and holding that.
And it feels very related to the thing of the tiny actions we take every day. Because what I watch is, so I was away for a few days and doing some pretty big experiences, you know, some pretty, big content kind of stuff. And watch how easy it is being out of the routine to get out of the routine. But I guess that's what I mean. Really, instead of having a push-pull relationship with that and a right-wrong and a good-bad and keeping score and that kind of thing, just really, really just watching it and not assuming that I was doing it poorly or that anything was going wrong or that, because I don't actually know.
Yeah.
I don't actually know. Maybe given all the sets of circumstances and the, you know, all the travel and the, maybe it was brilliant, you know, I don't know. So not have, what I noticed about that was not having that judgment, that opinion. The minute I had a minute to pick up a routine and I hear the voice go, well, what's the point? And so little. I mean, and you have, you didn't do it yesterday and you might not be able to do it tomorrow. What's the point? But it, just like was just talked about, but doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Not because it's going to make a difference, not because it's going to make me feel better, not because it's the right thing to do, but just doing it. And, ooh, I could see right in that, that changes the focus of attention in a really, really significant way.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it's saying to the system, this matters.
It matters.
And this is who I am.
And it's who I am. And in that moment, when we're doing that small thing, with that attention and awareness, it's the whole deal.
Yeah.
It's the whole deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As you said, you know, who knows what's gonna...
You know what I just thought was so funny? Is every time that brick wall goes up and it starts to have a harm, well, you're never gonna do it. But the commitment is, for the length of time that it's talking to me about that, I actually do whatever it is I'm supposedly not gonna do.
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Like, so if walking is my thing, then, okay, sure, you can talk to me, but while you're talking to me, I'm going to be walking, whether it's like back and forth across my living room,
right,
or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, so the minute it says, you're not going to floss your teeth, I'm like, okay, I'm going to floss my teeth while we're having that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, just that using that cue to, because as long as we're using this time to have this conversation, we might as well go ahead and do the thing.
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, that came up in a group here on Thursday night. You know, it's always yattering away at us. And then, and the human, you know, the biggest commitment, and the heart's just, you know, going on and doing, you know,
doing the thing.
But, and you know, and we get confused and we think that what that's saying is what's real and what we're doing. But, you know, when we can look at it in awareness, hey, you know, that's not what's going on.
No,
not at all.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I was just seeing in what was being said was how that one of the things, the conditioning is always pushing for a decision, a definitive decision, early. and what I was seeing was that in order, it does that because first it generates anxiety, and then to resolve the anxiety it has generated, it then says we need to make a decision. I mean, I hadn't really seen that so clearly, because it's the only source of anxiety. So if I'm feeling anxious, it's because of conditioning, and then conditioning comes in with the resolution, well, we'll make a decision, and that will end the anxiety.
Wow, and then, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, a number of things. One, you know, along the lines of the little bitty things, also the line, looking along the lines of the little bitty moments, because, you know, I also have a number of things, one of which is this possibility that it relates to nothing in my experience that has been offered. And so just watching how there's such a pressure to think about it, like right now, to think about it, and to just say, right now I'm in group, you know, and it will take, it will, conditioning will take and sort of say, well, its interpretation of just do the next step is just think about what the next step might be, and then think about what you might do about that, and then think about what the next step might be. And to get that at the moment, that's not the next step.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fascinating to watch. And it just came up this morning because it just wants to worry this to death. You know, and I don't even have the thing yet. So it is not related to any next step that's in front of me to take. And to just sort of to drop that, to, it feels like restraint and religious observance, you know? To drop, the restraint is to drop that anxiety, that push to think about.
Wow.
And as part of the responsible process that I'm supposed to be engaged in. And to just keep saying, but that's not the next step right now. Who knows what it will be? The other thing that I found that was really helpful in the article that recently came out, the Musings article, was Sherry talking about how life has no preferences. That just felt like, you know, a cry of liberation, because because the other thing that happens is conditioning to attempt to attach meaning to everything. And so therefore, any step you take is just potent with good or bad meaning. You know? Uh-huh. And it's going to be good or bad, disappointing or not disappointing, cataclysmic or marvelous. And the notion that life has no preferences, it just is unfolding. It's just like this huge sigh of relief.
Huge sigh of relief that life has no preferences.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Way more relief than that, than the anxiety and the pressure and the meaning that, you know, conditioned yep. mind would attach to everything.
Yeah. The other thing that this particular situation has helped present me with is a reminder of some things that I actually have made a commitment to that I haven't been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And watching how conditioning has taken hold of those as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter which direction we want to go in. You know, conditioning will find a way mm-hmm. to make it a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm grateful that what I'm seeing is that I really do want to recommit. And in order to recommit, I have to actually schedule these things in,
mm-hmm.
which I've been saying for probably 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I really need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, what I'm seeing is what we're saying yes to is just seeing.
Uh-huh.
You know, what we're saying yes to is, I had really gotten confused, I think, that we were saying yes to content.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying yes to is seeing all this stuff
uh-huh.
that happens when we say yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's all we're saying yes to, because life doesn't care.
It
just feels miraculous.
Yeah. Miraculous. We're just practicing saying yes, and life, as you said, has absolutely no preferences. It doesn't care. We're just practicing the seeing.
Yeah.
And as was said, you know, we're practicing, you know, being in awareness, we're practicing ending suffering,
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, and to just take the next step, the next step. And
when it is the next step.
When it is the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Cameron.
Well, I've had a recent opportunity to see how a manifestation of the brick wall is, well, we just recently had someone talking about the power of not knowing. The brick wall is in I know.
Uh-huh.
That is so ironic, because I know is really saying no.
I know is saying no.
It is. I was trying to share something with someone, and they knew everything ahead of time. I mean, there was just not one inch, not one little molecule of openness to anything else.
It was a really solid brick wall.
It was a solid brick wall.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's such a popular knowing is like, you know, so revered in culture.
Uh-huh.
And I had this experience and I just thought, man, that is such an ignorant place rather than an intelligent place, which kind of equates with knowing normally in our minds.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Wow.
But the glass is so full, there is no room for anything to go in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, the teacup, I guess it is in Zen. You know, that's one that this person's conditioning has fallen for. You know, it's a survival system, is to kind of go up in your head and know something, you know, get organized or whatever. And I mean, that was just such a powerful experience to see that
wow.
is not the place at all.
It's just what we've been talking about this morning. We would think we know what this meeting with a certain person is going to bring to us, and you describe having this whole experience of learning something, you know, in this of seeing so clearly that I don't know is
yeah.
a place of ignorance, actually. It's a place of no.
That I do know is a place of ignorance.
Oh, that I do know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and that definitely wasn't how I imagined this situation. I had a really nice ending to this thing. but, you know, learning that was worth everything.
Everything.
Especially since the conditioning that has operated in here
uh-huh.
has really thought differently about that. I mean,
yeah.
it was just so clear how that was the big brick wall.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
There was no permeation, no room for anything to come or go there.
I'm reminded that when we're present, everything is our teacher.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The cereal box or the license plate that you're following behind, yeah. All of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The messages are everywhere, yeah. And the messengers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Scott.
This has been a great morning. The word that keeps coming up for me is holy.
Holy.
And while I'm listening to people speak, I just feel this holy work is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just been some really nice things around kind of the simplicity, the one word and the prayer, I love you, thank you, and how that those kinds of things just bypass what we're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bypasses the conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been my experience a lot lately where, well, yeah, the other thing that's been coming up is that everything is our teacher. And the teaching often is just highlighting basically that I'm not here, but not in a kind of like the musing does,
uh-huh.
In this really kind way where it really seems normal to pick the right thing, to have the right experience, you know, make a choice, as the musing was saying, like, well, if I take a walk or I take a nap, that one will set out the rest of the day and I'll be the right, oh no, actually maybe I shouldn't do either, I should catch up on emails. And that process seems super legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and if I make the right choice, I'll be the right person and have the right life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the teaching is like highlighting that whole conversation is taking us away from life.
Mm-hmm.
And every teacher is doing that for me, is highlighting what I think is sort of normal or life, mm-hmm. is really just a conversation with ego.
Uh-huh. So every teacher that you encounter, in whatever form, it's letting you know you're in a conversation with ego that, you know, that maybe, yeah, you're just not as present, and that, hey, here's an opportunity to, you know, to just see things differently.
Yeah, it's like a flashlight in a dark room, and it was just dark over there, and I just thought it was just dark over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's the flashlight, and then there's the ego structure.
Uh-huh.
You know, that I didn't realize. I've just been conditioned to think that's me and that's life.
Yeah.
And it's so fun in that the way that I guess I'm hearing it, because it's just easy to see and let go. It's not what I've been doing in a lot of practice, which is, oh, well, how does that work? And what are they saying? And okay, let me figure that out. So what I really should do next time is. And now I'm right back in that loop. and that it seems like maybe the holiness is, I don't even actually have to enter a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the holiness in sitting lately has been just with everything I can possibly give to it, to be with the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what, and then, you know, of course the conversation starts and I lose it, and I just come back to one.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep having this image of, like, leaning on the edge of a cliff. And like this wind is blowing really strong, and like the pull is to like back away from the edge and get some cover. But there's just something like, no, I'm just going to stay at the edge and let the wind, I don't know, this is so weird, but the wind's blowing so hard, it's like blowing the skin off of it. Like my body is almost like evaporating, but I'm going to stay at the edge anyway.
Just talking about holy, being, and I saw that word as two, as both holy and holy, with the W and the H, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that commitment to just be there wholeheartedly, and experiencing that right now with sitting, of just feeling like right on the edge, and just leaning into it, you know, just leaning into whatever this is, and even if it means that the skin is blown off, the whole form is blown away, to just keep leaning into it with the wholeheartedness,
mm-hmm.
and seeing that opportunity versus the trying to, you know, take everything that's, you know, you hear and make it a plan for improvement, or, you know, I'm going to do this with practice and that with practice instead.
Figuring stuff out.
Yeah, that image of just like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's fun to gosh, so great to be at the monastery. So we're in group, and I'm feeling that. And then it comes in that I completely missed a responsibility to the community this morning. And I just got to watch how that awareness, there's never been a gap before. It would just immediately go to feeling bad, to self-hate, like immediately, like as if there were no other options. And it was just so great to be in the holiness, in the awareness, and watch that all happen, mm-hmm. and not have to identify with any of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, just recommitting mm-hmm. to that leaning at the edge of the cliff, yeah. knowing that if that's really the issue, falling through with commitments to the community, well, that's where I'm going to fall through with commitments to the community, yeah. not going into a conversation about how I'm bad. I mean, that's the thing that I'm guessing got in the way of forgetting the commitment in the first place.
Yeah. Well, you're going to follow through. I mean, the way to seeing that the way to follow through with the commitment to the community is not going into the feeling bad place, mm-hmm. but to stay with the commitment to the community, which I didn't hear you say exactly, but to end suffering, you know,
yeah.
to just stay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole deal, as was being spoken about. That's why we're here. It's an interest to forget that.
Thanks. Rebecca.
I love this experience of group because it is, you know, it's just, to me, it's like the best experience of whole mind that I ever have, you know, because everything just resonates, so it's just the best. And I had this delightful projection exercise this morning that speaks to what, for me anyway, to what one of the aspects that we're looking at. And it was Sadie this morning was out on the porch, and I was in the dining hall, and she was looking through the window of the dining hall into the kitchen, keeping her eyes glued on the person she loves so much, you know. And just the I was sort of watching her, you know, watching the person, and I was struck by her complete focus, mm-hmm. complete focus, and just intensity. And I projected the love and the devotion and the loyalty and the everything in that dog's being, you uh-huh. know. And it reminded me of the projection part of it. It reminded me of the heart's desire of this person to keep the attention on awareness. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing else in the world mm-hmm. that's more devoted to. I love as much, you know. And I, you know, and I went out on the porch, and you know, and Sadie gave me a passing glance and a little wag. You know, she acknowledged my presence and, you know, let me touch her and pet her. But she was focused, you know. Mm-hmm. And I projected that she, you know, if she got distracted by she didn't really seem to go for cats too much, but if she got distracted by something, it wouldn't mean she was a bad dog, or wouldn't question her love of the person that she was watching, or any of that, you know? It was just, oh, okay, that caught my attention. Okay, back to what I love. You know? Okay, I'm seeing that. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, back to the person I love. You know? And it's just that all-consuming love. And I just so enjoyed that projection exercise on her so much. It feels like it just elevated and shone a light on mm-hmm. what we who are mm-hmm. endeavoring in this practice are all about. Mm-hmm.
So just having a wonderful awareness being mirrored this morning by Sadie, mm-hmm. the dog here at the monastery, and just recognizing that single-hearted devotion of this person to awareness practice, and just seeing that same, you know, her demonstrating that devotion and having it resonate mm-hmm. with this person too, and realizing that's you know, my devotion, or that's the devotion that's present for awareness practice. And yeah, I may get, you know, I may get distracted and look over here for a minute and look over there for, you know, to the left, to the right, whatever. But still it comes back. You know, that devotion is present and project unwavering. you know, even if there may be temporary distractions and stuff, but it's there as soon as the attention comes back there. Yeah, that's where the heart is.
It is just so natural.
It's so natural.
You know, it brings tears to my eyes to see that look in her eyes, you know, mm-hmm. that total dog being, you know, mm-hmm. she just lives it. And mm-hmm. it was just a beautiful gift that I wanted to talk about. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.